Two men looked out from prison bars. One saw mud, the other saw stars. It's a matter of vision and perception. One looked down and one looked up. We became missionaries, joined the OMF on the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. I thought it was a great joke and laughed about it with our friends. But I actually stopped cracking the joke with friends because we came across folk who thought we were fools to be becoming missionaries and heading off to another country, middle of nowhere, as servants of Christ. We saw Christ's calling to follow him and serve him as a privilege and a joy. How do you view your life as a Christian and as a disciple of Jesus Christ, called and commissioned to follow Jesus and to serve him? Is it a privilege by God's grace? Is it an opportunity with a call for you to respond? An obligation with freedom of choice? Accountability with responsibility for your choices? Not sure if we're going to. Yep. Paul encountered Jesus in a challenging confrontation. This was read to us on the road to Damascus, Acts 9, 1 to 9. He checked his perception. He examined what he was experiencing, and he accepted what Jesus was saying to him, and in faith and courage committed himself to follow and serve Christ wholeheartedly for the rest of his days. This vision turned his life around and determined the direction of where he went, how he subsequently used his gifts and energies, his opportunities, his influence, his relationships, his life commitment, so that near the end of his life, as Phil read to us, Acts 26, 19, we see his continued faithfulness and courage in his witness and defense of his message in speaking to King Agrippa, where he could say, "I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." We're virtually a quarter way through the 21st century already. How do we view our life and direction? The world, the situations around us, the needs of people, what Jesus wants us to be doing with our time and energy, our opportunities, our interactions. How is our vision? How's it? Yep. How's our vision of Jesus and his reality, his gospel, his call? We live in a world of rapid change and escalating conflict, huge challenge and desperate need. How can we effectively and faithfully bring an unchanging and yet ever relevant gospel to the situations around us? One of the big challenges of mission in the modern world is its planning and witness to cope with such change. Sadly, people vary in their responses to the situations and the challenges. Some lose their motivation, their vision, and slip back into survival mode of accepting modern, secular, materialism and become self-interested, focused on comfort, our convenience, our situation, coping with life and finance, our immediate personal needs. Our interests, our concerns. These can indeed be very demanding, consuming, but they can mean that Jesus and his call just get squeezed out of our vision and our life direction. Others can lose their primary focus in God, in Jesus and his gospel and his call, and shift their concern to more immediate needs, physical needs, material needs of people, genuinely very real. Communities far and near, but can allow the explicit witness of the gospel to somehow get left out of their contribution. Good service, good help, but ultimately short-sighted in the eternal perspective of people's needs. And others may keep their vision of Jesus and his calling, but somehow not change their methods or their communication of the message. I remember talking with a team of young people, international, who'd come to Thailand on a mission trip, and were witnessing to Thai folk around them, but not really having very much success. I talked with them and asked, okay, how are you communicating your message? What are you saying? And they responded and said, yeah, we're telling we got great news to share, good news of eternal life. And this to Thai Buddhists who are trying to get off the endless cycle of the wheel of reincarnations as they seek to head towards nirvana. Was that the appropriate entry point of communication? We need in mission and witness to understand not only the needs of people, but how we can communicate effectively with them, locally and especially cross-culturally, internationally. And if we look at Paul's commitment through the rest of his life, his ministry, adjusting to external situations. Here was mission in practice. How do I both live and communicate effectively, clearly, winsomely, faithfully the message of Jesus? Staying rock steady and clear on the essentials, but able to express and communicate. 1 Corinthians 9, 19 to 22. As we work on this. Oh, sorry, that was that one. Yeah, wait for a minute. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. Thoughtful, practical, relevant mission. How clear and sustained is our missional vision in the situations we face, locally or where Christ may call us? And how practical and faithful is our witness and service? How wide and far-reaching our vision? As outlined in Acts 1:8, as Paul quoted there again, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. What can we be doing here and now in our work and witness for Jesus, or our prayer, or our help, our care, our supporting, our giving, in our lives, here in and through Milford Baptist? We have and have had various good activities as a church. Craft, music for me, knit and natter, meals, tessel, ladies' breakfasts, alpha, prayer, small groups, Bible study groups, meals, Sunday services, kids' church, hospital chaplaincy services. Yeah, praise the Lord for what we do. How do we share? How do we communicate? How do we pray? Let's pray for these and use them well, participate in them, and seek ways to contribute and help. Or what further visions and promptings is the Lord giving us? If we look further afield, yep. The world is very large, very needy. What methods come to your mind for effective missional work beyond our immediate environment? that God is calling us to as his people and which we can consider and pray for. A few options that I think are very practical and relevant for us. Short-term mission. Oop, there we go, a couple. This is a much used and very effective entry point for wider mission, vision for action and experience, and can be done by a wide range of ages and school levels, including young people, students, gap year young adults, people using their holidays, early retirees, finishers, you know, those who are at the finishing stage of their lives, still have health, still active. Lord, how do you want to use me? Short-term missions can be useful possibilities. Each can bring good contribution as well as the person involved can learn much. It shouldn't be used for sanctified tourism. I'm going and doing my thing and yeah, I'll give a wave or a nod to Jesus along the way. But Lord, how do you want to not only mobilize and use me, even short term, but also work in me and expand my vision, my prayer, concern, my activity, my support? Roles of helping, supporting, tutoring, training, learning, yeah, can be diverse in very many ways and very useful, both in working with an overseas missionary or church and in bringing life-impacting experience for the person involved as a short-termer. Most missions and some aid and develop agencies run such programs. Length of times can vary widely. See Lois, see the mission committee here about options, about things that are available, not only for guidance and advice, but also for church support and prayer. Tent making. Paul, as you know, worked making tents for his own support so that he could be sharing the gospel in different situations, or as more often called now, missional business. Engaging in a particular, usually some form of secular activity, so that I can be in a particular place to live for Christ and share his good news, his gospel. Can range from people going on short holidays saying, how can I use my time while I'm over there? Whether many have carried Bibles in the past or looked for an opportunity in the coffee shop to talk to someone about Jesus, maybe leave a tract or something behind. Thinking beforehand, what can I carry that would be useful? Yeah, you need to be aware of where you're going, and it may be sensitive to carry Christian scriptures, but other places be fine. Or how, what can you learn of the place you're going to? How can I communicate about Jesus while I'm there? What opportunities might there be for witness or support? Can contact missions working in those countries who can give you a bit more guidance. Again, mission committee can help. Very intentional education opportunities or business opportunities using professional skills, starting a business, both business advising, as we heard Chris doing today from Frank, or being able to encourage and train others, practicing in business to facilitate visas, job opportunities to live and work in situations, countries where Christians or missionaries are normally not permitted entry. Diaspora. The Greek word for those who are scattered. So many people in the world are in places other than their place of birth. The world is very much a diaspora context these days. How do we use our opportunities? Sometimes it's now referred to as returnee mobilization, both how we witness to people who come to us, but also, especially if they're students or trainees or preparing to return, how can we equip them in Christ for when they return as witnesses, as evangelists, as leaders of churches, so that they can be useful for Christ back in their home country or another country. Diaspora ministry, very much an option here in New Zealand if people come here from other places. Whether they're students, immigrants, refugees, tourists, and prayer. We don't need great health or strong legs or whatever to pray. So much scope, so much need for prayer support, for people serving the Lord already as witnesses, as missionaries in other places, as his servants. Pray for such people whom you know, or seek out missionaries whom you can pray for. An agency or a church working elsewhere that you can pray for, correspond with, encourage them, learn about their needs, their situation, receive prayer letters so that your prayers are specific and focused rather than God bless the missionaries and keep them there. Keep them over there away from me. No, bless them where they are, use them there, but work through me there. I remember Mike Griffith, some of you will know his name, saying once, prayer is evangelism shorn of worldly approbation. Intercessory prayer, I don't get honor and glory. People aren't giving me great approbation. Evangelism, as I pray for others who are witnessing, who are serving Christ elsewhere, with other people, without any congratulation for me, commendation for me. Yeah, there's a test of your true concern for prayer, for witness. Don't just drift along, please. John 4:35, open your eyes, look, see the fields ready for harvest. This is a challenge not to just procrastinate, postpone. There's a parable of a senior demon who was training up junior demons to tempt Christians so that they wouldn't follow Jesus. And he was sending them out on a practical assignment. And he said, how are you going to tempt people not to follow Jesus? And one said, oh, I'm going to say there's no heaven. I said, yeah, that'll be effective. Asked another one, how are you going to tempt them not to follow Jesus? I'm going to say there's no hell. And, all right, no punishment, no consequences for your life. Yes, that will be effective. Asked another one, what are you going to say? I'm going to tell them there's no hurry. And he said, yeah, you'll probably be even more effective. Postpone, leave it another time. Yes, I must, I agree. But not yet, not now. What's our response to the prompting of Jesus when he speaks to us about this? Because vision brings responsibility. What do I do with what I have seen? Paul's response to the vision. I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. What will we do about what we see? We're called to remember that we too are accountable and will be called to account. Romans 14:12, each of us will give an account. Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. This is not judgment for sin. We are saved. Thank you, Lord. But it's for us as Christians. How will we use our gifts, the gospel we have received, our opportunities? A bit scary, a bit awesome, but a privilege too. Do you see witness, mission, as a burden or a privilege? April Fool's Day, or a joy? Thank you, Lord, for your calling. Don't be afraid. Joshua 1:9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Which brings us to our responsiveness, how we feel about it, what we do. There's an important distinction between hearing and listening. And we face a need for us to pay attention to the calls, the claims of Christ on our lives as we consider his mission. Verses such as Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Oops, we're not getting that change. There we go. As you know, the verse, well known. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Passage which still applies, hasn't been revoked. Isaiah 6:8. Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom can I send? Who will go for us? And I said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people. Paul could declare to King Agrippa, Acts 26:19, as we've seen and heard, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. We know from the book of Acts, from Paul's letters, of his resultant and consistent activity and service for Jesus. Paul declares in his writings his clear life priorities, his commitments in following and serving Jesus. Philippians 1:21. For me, to live is Christ. Similarly, he remained very clear and consistent in the message he had to share, the scriptures and his Lord. 1 Corinthians 1:23 to 24. We preach Christ crucified, to the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Romans 1:14 to 16. Paul's testimony concerning his motivation and his commitment and ministry. I am obligated, I'm under obligation to those who haven't heard. I am eager, not just a burden and a heavy weight, but a privilege and a joy. I'm eager to do it. I am not ashamed. Verses 14, 15, 16, Romans 1. Prepared to be clear, explicit, bold in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. What do we discern of Christ's call in our lives, in the here and now? And what's our response as we look ahead? Where would Christ like to lead us? How does he want to use us? I was 14 when I made a commitment to be available to become a missionary if the Lord continued to indicate that direction in my life. We didn't actually get on a plane until I was 28. A lot of training, a lot of preparation in between. What's the Lord saying to us as we not only look around now, but as we look ahead? Those of us who've still got maybe some more years ahead of us. How we want to follow the Lord and serve him. And what can we do now? A few things, practical pointers. Have a global village, a vision, word that's used in mission, global and local. Yes, have a local village, our immediate situation, as well as a global vision. Lord, where do you want my heart, my focus, my vision, my action at this time? Use me fully now, but also wherever you want to lead me in the future. Be a world Christian with a wide vision. Ask God for a particular interest or focus or person that you can have in mind. Read up on. Pray for any missionaries or churches in that context. What is the need? How can I pray relevantly, explicitly, effectively? Become involved in the here and now with someone who is working cross-culturally Learn about them. Learn about their work. Pray for them. Correspond with them. Ask for information and apply it in prayer. Pray for, communicate with a missionary. They need encouragement. They would love you to be praying for them. Pray, write, support financially. And ask God how he wants to use you, short term or longer term, to guide you in what he has in view for you. Be available. Be responsive. Be obedient. Our God is a missional God. He has reached out to us through others. He wants to reach out to others through us. Let's pray. Father, help us to hear your voice at each stage of our lives, to follow you, to serve you, to be close to you each day, and lead us forward, we ask. Lord, you know each of our hearts, each of our strengths, each of our opportunities, each of our needs. And we pray you will speak to us, will lead us, will work in us as a church and through us as your people. So lead us forward according to your good and perfect will, because we ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.